Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. I am Roy, AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob, KD2NVB, will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages. We also offer original articles and reviews on many topics covered during these technical nets. We also publish technical puzzles for our participants to ponder. And as a starting off point to discuss important technical concepts, tonight's TechNet puzzle is posted on our club website. The link can be found on the front page of our website in orange-colored type, but if you would like a simple URL to find it, just type into your browser puzzle.kc2rc.com, and that'll bring you directly to our puzzle page. Also, we will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. All of this information can also be found on our club website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Again, www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, and whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob, KD2NVB, will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they are free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net or via our email address, which is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob, KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, Roy. Good evening, everybody out there. This is Bob, KD2NVB. Hope we have a nice, busy net tonight. Thank you.
Glad to have you aboard, Bob. If you could raise your output a little bit, you're about 30% noise.
Okay, I just went from 60% to 100%, 50 watts. That's all I got. And you were a little crackly, too, so I think conditions aren't so great. How am I now?
You're perfect now. Let me just rev up. I have only a 20% level, so I'll rev it up. Okay, how do I sound now?
That's good. Before it was alternating between crackly and clear, and right now it's so far clear.
Okay, I kicked it up to 40%. I had it down to 20%, which is the level that I use to drive my amplifier. So last time I was able to get away with 20%. But yeah, it must be the kind of rainy, humid weather we have that just is blocking a little bit of the RF energy. So be it. Once again, this is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I am the net control operator for this, the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, which meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month. This is the second Wednesday. So if anyone out there has any questions or topics they would like to discuss, please give me your first name and your call sign.
WB2HRO, this is Joe. And I have a question. It's related to antennas and stuff like that. But also, your signal, it's like you have a loose connection or something, because before you were noisy, then you came up to full quieting before you raised the power. And now, when you were speaking, it fluctuated. Not that it was hard to copy you, but I could tell you went from full quieting to a little hiss in there. Over.
Okay, I revved it up to 50% power. How is this?
I don't think it has to do with how much power you're running. I think there's a connection problem because it's fine. It was fine before you start increasing it. It came up by itself. And then you added more power, of course. It overcame it even more so, but the problem is still there, whatever it is. It fluctuates. And, you know, the repeater, as long as you get enough energy to it, whether it's 10 watts is enough, or you put 100 watts, you can't tell the difference. But there is something at your end that varies the power, and it sounds like a connection on the antenna or something like that.
Okay, well, don't know what to tell you. Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's kind of wavering all over the place. Give me a couple of minutes. Let me just tighten a couple of connections up and see if that does anything.
Right then, it started with a little hiss, then it went away and came back.
KD2NVP, Roy, I hope you're still listening, because actually Joe also got crackly just at the end in his last transmission, so maybe it's something between with the repeater or just the weather. Back to net.
The repeater. Maybe there's a connection problem with the repeater.
Is that you, Joe? Because that was really crackly and it was hard to understand you. I think this, I don't know. Back to net.
Let me try something, because, hold on.
That last try something, hold on, was fine. It was quiet and much stronger.
Didn't do anything.
Yeah, so stuff is fluctuating, and it's probably none of us individually. That's just my guess.
Affects more than one person. It's probably at the repeater. Over.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, unless it's just the weather, you know, it's about to rain or whatever. But, yeah, it could be a repeater. Yeah.
Okay, I tightened everything. I don't know if that will help one way or the other. Yeah, if it's happening to more than just me, then chances are it's not a coincidence. It's the repeater probably would benefit from some cleaning out. You know, we haven't been able to get there in more than a year. So hopefully soon someone will go down there and do a little maintenance work on it.
A little hissy then, you know. So it goes up and down.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw the kitchen sink. This is about all that, I think it's about 50 odd watts that the IC7100 can throw. And I'll just have to leave it to whatever the repeater is doing during this weird weather. I hope it's just temporary weather-wise. Anyway, once again, this is AC2GS. Joe recognized. I'll put you down on the list. Anyone else out there with any questions or topics for tonight, please give me your first name and your call sign. Okay, that's a very noisy signal. If anyone can reach this gentleman on the input frequency and relay, I'd appreciate it, but I can't hear him. Whoever's out there, if you can boost your output or wiggle your antenna, I think the repeater isn't quite feeling as well as usual tonight. So we have to treat it with tender loving care. Oh, well, whoever is out there, if you can adjust the output on your radio or change the position of your antenna, we'll get back to you soon. Let's first get to Joe and his question for tonight, and we'll give you a little bit more time to see what you can squeeze out of your transmitter there. So, Joe, what's your question for tonight?
My question for tonight is WB2HRO. Let me make sure I have it. My question is, you know, because I was trying to go on a net on the low bands on 3938, the hour before this at 8 o'clock. There's a net on there, and they buy and sell stuff, and I wanted to sell some stuff. You know, I'm always trying to sell some of my stuff, and I heard them all, and I couldn't get to one. No one came back to me, and I found out my antenna had been compromised again. Yet my antenna team has still tuned it up. I was tuned up, you know, as far as the antenna team is concerned, almost anything. But it's, I couldn't get out. So, what's your opinion about antennas? Are they worth anything? I mean, that one cost me $300. Back to you.
Yeah, unfortunately, what we were talking about before is happening with you as well. You kind of got drowned in your background noise. So I don't know what's going on with the repeater, but it's kind of wigging out. Maybe it's windy down there and the antenna is bouncing about. I don't know. If you could repeat it, maybe the second time I'll be able to figure out. I got that you were trying to talk on 80 meters and someone had sabotaged your antenna, and then I kind of lost the thread of your question.
My thought was, let me check the antenna, and then after having no success to contact, I spoke to one person because I was very low compared to other times to recognize. So I checked the antenna, and it was had been cut, so it was laid against the wall, so it was compromised. But my antenna tuner still tuned it up. So what I'm saying is, the antenna tuner will tune into anything, but the functionality is zero. Over.
Yes, I experienced the same thing. I have a fan dipole. It's a kind of a clone of an Alpha Delta 80, 40, 20, and 10. During the last few months, apparently the elements had partially snapped off of it. And even though there was nothing much, and I did a VNA sweep, and it was awful. There was no real resonance going on, but if you have a strong enough antenna tuner, you can tune a doorknob or a stump of coax cable. It gives you a false sense of security in that you can supply it with 50 ohms of impedance, but there's no radiation resistance to speak of. There's very little of the energy going out and coming back in. So that's why I always caution people that it's not all standing wave ratio, although that's an important factor as well. Because, you know, as you well know, a dummy load is a perfect load. It's a one-to-one, and you're not going to get much in the way of conversations if you transmit through a dummy load. So, yeah, you experience what I experienced with my fan dipole. You can cut it to non-existence, and if you have a strong enough antenna tuner, an impedance matching device, you can fake yourself out into thinking that you've matched the impedance even if the antenna is no longer attached and not going to be radiating.
Well, that's what about happened. I mean, so I set the thing off because I reeled in the, maybe 30 feet of wire that was left, and, somebody got to it. Use whatever adjective you want. But that's the story on that. So the antenna tuner fooled me tonight. Because it was tuning up, tuning up, and there was no problem. It wasn't going anywhere very well. So back to Nick.
Yeah, I mean, that is why if I don't get lazy, I like to occasionally sweep my antennas with my vector network analyzer. And, you can file a copy of it away in your computer, and you can go back to it and see how your antenna is working. Not only does it give you an idea of what portions are resonant, it gives you an idea of the lowest impedance level at resonance, if it's if it's where it's supposed to be, and what resonant frequencies are on the right way. Otherwise, when you do a sweep, and all of a sudden you find this very erratic, considerably non-resonant curve, you sort of know that something went terribly wrong with your antenna. I always start off doing that, and after a while, I kind of get lazy, unfortunately, but nowadays I keep pushing nano VNAs, but there are a lot of VNAs out there. Nano VNAs are the cheapest, going for something like $60 to $80 or so. But I think one of the things that hams who change their antennas or tweak their antennas or do anything really significant with antenna work it's always wise to invest in a network analyzer. It's a great value for the different things that we need to know. You know, I hear about people testing their transmission lines with a volt ohmmeter. That's nice. That's fine. You're testing it for DC, and you're not using your transmission line to get DC across. You're using it to get RF across. And so test equipment that tests for RF signals on a transmission line is going to give you a lot more information. With a VNA, you can do a time domain reflectometry, which is basically you're able to see if there are any reflections in the line, any discontinuity of impedances and such, and you get a much better sense for whether your transmission line is operating up to specs, and then you get to see about the resonance of the final antenna that should be connected that sometimes gets disconnected. So, yeah, you've fallen for the same thing that I have. I'm sure you've listened or have had conversations on 75 meters where there's a guy who thinks that antenna tuners are just a grift, a con, and that they don't do anything good, and that everyone should just get themselves an antenna farm filled with resonant antennas that don't require any antenna tuners.
But I don't. And, I guess within reason, the antenna tuner works. You know what I mean? I've worked the world with an antenna tuner, 100 watts, and so forth. But if the antenna ended up laying against the building instead of out in space, you know, above the yard, of course it's not going to. You know, it fooled me. It made up. It was transmitting the energy back into the wall with a wire lamp is who knows what else inside there. That's how I figure it. Antenna tuners have their place when you can't have the wire at the proper length, but that's about all they can do. They can't compensate for other problems. And I don't know about the device you're talking about. Is how do you perceive the readings? Is it a visual meter of some kind?
Yes, it is a graphic screen. It's a small touch screen. It's a very small device. They sell it with two size screens. I bought the 4-inch diagonal touch screen. They sell it at a 2.4-inch diagonal touch screen for people with better vision than I have. You can also plug it into computers. There's software that will run it on a regular monitor screen, and you can record the findings on them and such. And so you do a sweep and you get a visual graph. You can pick from a whole bunch. You could pick from a Smith chart representation. I prefer a regular, very simple one that gives you the absolute impedance on the Y axis and the frequency on the X, so I get a better idea for the minimums where the resonance are. It's a nice little gadget. Some people prefer sturdier stuff, and MFJ and Rig Expert and a whole bunch of different companies sell VNAs in the $300, $400, $500, $600 range. The Nano VNA is a small, portable little jobby that, like I said, you can get for anywhere from about $60 to $80. If you pay a little bit more, they throw in a whole bunch of connectors and cables and such. But it's a great little thing to play with. I've recommended it to electrical engineers who have enjoyed using them.
Help me, because I'm blind, and it's just a visual thing, graphical. So even if I connected it to my computer or some other audio speech device to convert text to speech, it would be of no value, because we can't use graphics. We can only use text. That's all. It's just a limitation. I live alone, so that doesn't, my friends come over once in a while, and often they they don't understand. Leave it at that. Something definitely wrong with you.
Yeah, it's a shame. I was trying to think in the back of my head if there's any kind of non-visual cue. I don't think that particular model has it. I know my rig expert has an interesting feature that it for people kind of working on the roof, you could hook it up at the station. And apparently, and I never really used this feature because I never really needed it. You can have it send a secondary frequency to a handy talkie, and the tones change with the impedance, so that you can actually. I think the idea is as you adjust the antenna, the tone being transmitted to your handy talkie gets lower and lower the closer you get to a 50-ohm impedance or something, but that's about the only thing I can think of that's non-visual. Unfortunately, it's a very visual device.
That's what I figured. That's a problem with a lot of stuff today. I listen to ads for various, like there's this alarm system that they advertise on the radio. I don't know which one it is, but they say with a touch screen to act, you know, that you get is, I said, good. That's one thing I don't need to worry about buying or not buying, because I can't use something like that. If it doesn't have discrete switches or buttons, it's of no value to me. That's why I love my Kenwood 940. It's just switches and buttons, you know, and that's good enough. But anyway, let's get back to this antenna problem. My antenna problem would be solved if people would keep their hands off of it, or someone goes up on the roof and puts up an antenna that the undesirables can't see, because if it's put up there and they don't know it's up there, they won't bother it. You know what I mean? Because you can't lock the roof door. That's against fire regulations.
So you think even if you put it up on the roof, these people would be so malicious that they would take the trouble of going up to an apartment house roof to wreak havoc? Some people, you know, some vandalism people are kind of lazy. If you put it in front of them, they'll break it. But you know, if you make it a little bit more difficult, you might get away with it. I don't know the group of malcontents that you're dealing with. It's a terrible shame. I feel for you. I have all my stuff on my property. It's on my roof. It's in my backyard. It's kind of difficult for me to get to some of it. So it's really difficult for some random stranger. And I always find that if you put things high enough, people don't like to pick their heads up. It's interesting camouflage. When I was putting together my roof antenna system, I sort of built it in my backyard and then had it hoisted up to my roof. And I found a lot of people were very anxious with it when it was sitting in my backyard. As soon as I elevated it about 25 feet onto the roof, I haven't heard anyone mention it at all, ever. And this is about 7 years ago. So, you know, maybe height would be beneficial. You know, I'm not saying that it's a sure thing, even though there's a public access to your roof, you might not have quite as much problems with it if you put it up someplace where it's slightly out of people's eyesight.
I put it, I suspect who does it, but I can't, and the one I suspect lives here in this building, but of course if he doesn't know it's there, he won't be able to do it, but no, the far end of the wire is, I thought I had someone tie it off for me. The garage that's behind the building is a weird thing. It's two stories, has a staircase out the back, like a fire escape staircase, a metal thing, and I sometimes tie it to that, but if I tie it, anybody else can reach out and cut it. But I think this guy, about 3 days ago, 4 days ago, he tied it in a way so that he can do some, get down on the ground or climb. I don't know what he did, but he did something because he just did it for me, and it worked, and it worked well. But evidently somebody got to it, I don't know. All I know is I was trying to work the 39-38 net. That's at 8 o'clock. I tried them, and they didn't come back to me. And then I finally got somebody on a different frequency. They said I was very low compared to usual. And that got me to go and reach outside and find that the wire was cut and just laying against the wall. There must have been about 50 feet of wire, 40 or 50 feet left. And it was laying against the wall, so of course it didn't work too well. If it was out, let me see if I still have it. I used to have a plastic rod that would go out about 5 feet, and then the antenna would drop down, straight down, about 40 feet with a weight at the end. And that worked pretty good, sometimes the wind would blow it and it would go, or the undesirable on the floor below me would hook it with something and pull it in, pull down on it, break the plastic rod. Everything is designed to break away so that they can't do any damage, like pull the whole antenna tuner out the window or pull the air conditioner down. They can't do that. The wire will break or something is designed to come apart. So it's just like a... so anyway, that's it at this end. I wish there was I have some antennas here. I bought an off-center fed dipole, an end-fed half-wave, but they're pricey, and I don't want to lose it in one night, you know what I mean, over?
Yeah, I can understand, and, it's very troubling. Vandals, they... Is there any way that you can elevate the mounting of it to a place where some guy with a stick can't just knock it down? Because I didn't really get a feel for how high the wire was going and how difficult it is to knock it over. I would assume that it's something all the guy needs is a pretty long stick and he can just whack it out of attachment. So is there any way that you could have a friend mount it significantly higher where a guy couldn't just pick up any old stick and disrupt it that way?
I don't know. I really don't know. If I knew somebody who lived in the next building and they were on an upper floor, say third floor up, I could, throw something out their window, throw something out mine, tie them together at the bottom, have him pull it up, or I pull it up, and then you'd be in business. Then they couldn't reach it, but I don't know anybody back there, And we had it one day earlier this summer. My friend came over, and he threw with a weight at the end. He threw it. I was up, it was up 15 feet up, a good 15 feet. Believe it or not, they got it down. I think what they did is they took something, another wire or rope, threw it over mine, got both ends of theirs, and pulled down on it and broke it. I don't know how they got it. That's beyond me, because I have no idea how they... But that was too high to reach for this thing. So anyway, that's that. We have to give the net some other, see if anybody else has any questions or comments or suggestions. Back to you.
Okay. Just as another aside, maybe you should consider trying a more compact, more movable antenna, something like a magnetic loop. That's something that you might be able to put into position and then bring back and protected in your house, something like that may be possible. I don't know.
I heard of magnetic loops. I don't know how well they work and how, you know, how big they are. I have a ham stick. I tried that, but I don't have the right mount for that. I got three ham sticks, one for 80, 40, and 20. And I stay on 80 meters most of the time. But when I put them up with the mag mount on top of the air conditioner, they're too close to the building and to the metal window frame, and that kills the signal. It doesn't kill the 2 meter signal, so I mean, it might attenuate some of it, but you know, it's all a relative thing. The wavelength versus the nearness to another object and stuff. Over.
Yeah, I mean, all things being equal, it's far better to have an antenna that's outside than inside or somewhere between inside and outside. Magnetic loops, actually, Bob can say a few things. I think he has a magnetic loop that he's still using. You know, they're not a panacea. Basically, they act like a very shortened dipole. Usually, they're about a 3 foot diameter. They have a very high Q, so you have to tune them when you change your frequency. They do not have a very high transmission output because they use a variable capacitor to tune the loop, and at a high Q, the voltage spikes are very high, and so most relatively inexpensive magnetic loops run at something like 30 watts. If you want more than 30 watts, you have to use much more industrial strength variable capacitors to act as the tuning capacitor. Some people just use butterfly capacitors with big plates. Others buy on eBay vacuum capacitors from Russia and such that are used but still usable. They, you know, they're not perfect, but you know, you might want to consider it. The only thing is, I don't know if you have any location where you can prop it up next to the window where it wouldn't, the fact that it's inside wouldn't impact it a great deal. You know, I don't know what to tell you about that. There are variable, there are adjustable loop antennas so that, you know, they're like automated antenna tuners. So they'll tune for themselves, and you might be able to put it up on your roof. It would be rather small and innocuous, and most people wouldn't know what the hell it was. So that might be an option as well.
Well, the first one you mentioned inside the room wouldn't work because the place has wire lath in the walls, and I know for a fact with the long wire antennas, if I'm setting it up, I'm listening to a station. As I reel the wire in, the signal goes down to zero from being outside to being inside. I mean, it's only the local broadcast stations that you can hear inside with a receiver with it totally inside the room. You know, but of course, they're dealing with high power and short distances. But, I know what the best thing would be to put is to try to put the F-wave wire on the roof. It would be, you know, that would be it. If I can have to work on that, I guess. I don't know. I don't know who to speak to because, you know, there are some strange people that live here that came after me. I've been here before. It'll be 14 years. They didn't live here before me, and now they're, you know, they think because they bought into a co-op that they can, that it's so wonderful and that they can be, their egos are up to, you know, where. You know, they get on the co-op board and they're about as dumb as can be. Over.
Well, yeah, and neighbors could always be problematic. I thankfully never lived in a co-op. I've always lived in a private apartment, but you have neighbors. My house is attached on either side, so I have to deal with a furrowed brow of an elderly Italian woman who lives on one side. One time, one of the antennas that was on a tripod in the backyard blew over by the wind, and she got very upset with me. But like I said before, once I stuck them on the roof, no one's really talked to me about it, thankfully. But, yeah, yours is a different situation. We just have incredibly malicious people out to be miserable at you. You know, it's a shame. You know, you certainly can't booby-proof these things, because if anyone gets injured by doing that, you're liable, and so that's another mess. So, I don't know. I wish I had a simple solution. If you have people that can help you, I would try and relocate it to some inauspicious place up on, there on the roof, and see what happens. You might get lucky.
Tell me what happened. Where did the when the whole thing tipped over? You said the antenna assembly tipped over. What got her upset? Did it end up in her yard or what? Over.
Yeah, it tilted over. It got stopped by the fence, but the portion of it was just poking up, you know, at I guess something like 8, 9, 10 feet above the ground, and not that anyone would step into it or be injured by it, but you know, that was her property, and what was I doing on her property with my thing? So that was the problem.
Realize it wasn't your fault that the wind blew it over.
Well, she's long in the tooth, and she's not terribly rational these days. I've had people that just kind of parked in front of her parkway to just parking the driveway, just to let me out of the car, and she would kind of run out of the house and start to yell at us. So she's a little flaky these days.
Okay. All right. So let's let it go on to another subject, see if anybody else is still listening. Over.
Okie doke. Thanks for participating, Joe. Once again, I am AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm net control operator for this, the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. And if you have any questions of a technical nature or topics you would like to cover, please hit that push-to-talk button. Give us your first name and your call sign. Ah, the silence is deafening. Well, we'll try one more time. I am AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. And since this is the second Wednesday of the month, we're here to try and help you if you have any technical questions, assuming anyone's out there listening to us. So if you are listening to us and or you have any technical questions that you would like to ask about, or if you have any topics you would like to hear discussed, or if you found something interesting about the hobby and you wish to share it. As an example, recently, a couple of months ago, the FCC installed a new rule. Within the next 2 years, all amateur radio operators will be required to do some minor calculations to calculate the RF exposure of their shack. That information should be available at some point in your shack after the next 2 years, so that if the FCC asks you for it, it's readily available. Up until recently, the ARRL had links to third-party web pages that had those calculations. Recently, they changed that. They put up their own web page, so you can go to an ARRL web page and look up RF exposure calculations. You can Google that and plug in the numbers for your shack. They'll ask you the output of the transmitters you have, the type of antennas you have, the gain of the antennas, and the location of people in relation to the antennas, and it'll spit out some answers, scribble it down on a piece of paper, and you're good to go. You have until probably about a year and 10 months to do that, according to the rules that they gave out a couple of months ago. So If anyone has anything like that, or any questions about that, or any questions of a technical nature, please hit that push-to-talk button, give me your first name, and your call sign.
Troubled with you at the beginning, but I heard you over there.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry if I doubled with someone. Whoever I doubled with, if you want to come back, I'll let go of the push-to-talk button.
Well, it was just me, Bob, KD2NBB, with a quick comment about mag loops.
Yeah, sure, Bob. Please.
I'm just saying that my my chameleon mag loop, it's F-loop 2.0, I can actually go to 60 watts. Because I have something called a power booster. I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact title. To loop, well, it was originally 500. I got it on sale for 350, and that was an extra 100. So that's 60 watts. So it's a little better than 30 watts. And of course, I just pulled up the page of these guys, Precise Loop, and they said they made these fancy ones, but they're very expensive. They got one that does the legal limit, but it's like $3,000 for the kit. So. Probably doesn't want to go that way, but anyway, there are some loop options out there, but yeah, back to you, Roy.
Yeah, that's high-end. The Precise RF, I think, also will sell you significantly less expensive mag loops that have the same servo mechanism that auto-tunes it, because a lot of people find it very annoying to retune their magnetic loops, but those less expensive ones have a maximum power output of significantly less than the 1,000 watt version. I forget if it's 100 watts or 60 watts, but you could save a couple of shekels that way.
I'll have to look more. Originally they just had a loop. When I bought mine, they just had something sort of comparable to mine that you could go up to about, I don't know, it wasn't even 40 watts or something, but they got a bunch of in-between ones now that, you know, are several hundred dollars, maybe a thousand, but they could maybe one to 100 watts or something, which might be, well, I mean, it's possible. I mean, if Joe has a way to go on a website without having to see it, you know, I could check it out. I could look through this thing more. There might be something, but I don't know. It's just maybe it's pretty far-fetched if you want some loop. But if he has a good place to put it, my loop doesn't work well for me just because I am in a Faraday cage apartment. I don't have any way to get it outside. So outside, it's a good product. So anyway, back to you, Roy.
Yeah, we three should call ourselves the Faraday Club, because we all three have the old style construction of the walls where chicken wire is kind of nailed into 2x4s, and then the plaster is kind of smeared onto the chicken wire, which allows for the old style plaster, and also works as a decent Faraday cage if that's what you want. No doubt I told you the story that way back, though, the first antenna that I tried to use was a purely reception magnetic loop. DX Engineering is selling that particular design these days. It was a pixel loop. The original manufacturer retired. And when I had it inside my shack, it was awful. Couldn't hear anything when I was just setting it up and such. And then I took it to the backyard, and it was decidedly better. I did not find the directionality that is supposed to be a feature in magnetic loops, and I made the assumption that it's probably the curious reflections that are had in my backyard. It's a row of attached houses on both sides, and so the RF must bounce around and kind of de-directionalize the signals to the loop somehow. But I bought a rotator specifically for it, and almost never used it because I never really discerned any good directionality from my particular magnetic loop. But, it's a wonderful design, and the big problem is you still have to put it someplace outside your house. Some people who have nothing in the way of RF insulation in their house are fortunate. You'll hear stories of guys who just stapled wires up on the wall of their apartment, and they're transmitting through that, although I would love to see their FCC-required RF exposure calculations based on what they're doing and how much RF is getting into their shack. But some people can get away with that, but us three, we live in Faraday cages, unfortunately.
But a Faraday cage is a statement probably stronger than a cardboard box.
Probably it's all of these walls.
The repeater is not feeling well tonight. A lot of noise. The output signal was very nice, if you remember when it did the CW IDing. It was clear as a bell. So it's something going wrong with its ability to receive signals, I think. I mean, it might be getting as deaf. I hope not, but it might be getting as deaf as good old Glen Oaks repeater has been. I'm curious, has my signal been kind of breaking up and turning into mostly noise in and out, or has the 50 watts been sufficient to keep it from doing that?
So much not recently, way back at the beginning of the net sometimes, but it's quite, like right now, it was the last transmission, it was crackly, but no problem copying. Not recently.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes sense, because like I said, I started at 20%, which usually is enough for this repeater. But right now I'm pumping out 100% output on my ICOM 7100, so that's probably why. I mean, if I wanted to be ludicrous about it, I could treat it like Glen Oaks and shift over to the 150-watt amplifier, but I think that's a little too much of a good thing.
Sure, and I've got this mag mount on a metal cabinet next to my window.
Okay, unfortunately, the first two-thirds I couldn't make out, and the last third I did.
Wow, I was just saying that you probably have a better antenna than I do, but on the other hand, I'm closer to the repeater, but you're still not hearing me, so I'm at full power.
Yeah, I mean, if you have nothing better to do after the net, you could listen to the recording to get a sense of everyone's signal. Everyone's kind of going in and out, and well, you know, just like you Joe mentioned was going on with mine. So there's something strange. It's curious that it's changeable. I would imagine not something inside of, unless you know, the winds are really blowing heavy. So I'm thinking maybe there's something wonky with the antenna, that it's shaking about, and depending upon what position it is, it's not quite picking up the signal very well. But I don't know. We'll see as time goes by. Eventually, the technical crew is going to have to go up there and take a good look at it. It's been a long, long time.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe it's the rain, but right now it doesn't seem to be, where I am, it doesn't seem to be raining, but it was raining hard maybe 20 minutes ago or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes things just act out. What can you do? We'll just have to hope for better times. So once again, this is AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Technical Net, which works best when people have technical questions. So if anyone out there has any questions of a technical nature that they would like to discuss, or topics they would like to discuss, or things that they heard about related to amateur radio that they'd like to share with us, or ask if we know anything more about this, what have you, just hit that push-to-talk button and give us your call sign and your first name. Ooh, that was a very noisy signal. I assume it was you, Bob. Oh, I'm sorry for misidentifying. Again, something's really strange with the repeater. I'm sure everyone kind of notices that the signal coming out of the repeater by itself, the IDing is beautiful. But it's not really repeating people's transmission very well. Everyone's kind of going in and out with a lot of background noise.
Yeah, NBB, well, you already know that. It wasn't me, but maybe I'm just as bad right now for all I know.
No, you're about 20 to 30% noise. The other gentleman was about 80 to 90% noise.
Yeah. If he tries again, maybe he'll be luckier next time.
Yeah, might as well try. I mean, I'm looking at everyone on the input signal, and unfortunately, I'm not getting really any kind of strong enough signal to pull people in just going from the input frequency. But nevertheless, if the gentleman wants to give it another try, you know, sometimes some transmissions are a little luckier than others. If you could rev up the output to as high as your transmitter will allow, we'll try and hear what you say. Oh, well, couldn't make out any of that. I don't know. It's 9:53. Not a lot of people for any kind of a puzzle or anything, so maybe we should kind of deep six the puzzle again until next time, assuming that the people will show up and that the repeater will behave. If anyone has any closing comments or questions or anything before I prematurely shut it down for the night, please let me know.
NBB with a notice to you, Roy.
Yes, sure, Bob.
This month I'm going to be visiting my aunt and up in Connecticut, and so the odds are, I'm not sure exactly when I'm going, but the odds are probably better than even that I'm not going to be around 2 weeks from now to be on the net. I'll be out of range in Connecticut.
Okay, I tell you what, because things have been really, really, really quiet this summer, just email me if it looks like you're not going to be available, and we'll just put it on a hiatus for the rest of August, because I'm hoping that things get better when Labor Day comes, but I was thinking about kind of doing what psychiatrists do and, you know, taking off August. So let me know one way or the other, you know, whenever you can, okay?
Roger, that sounds good, Roy. That sounds good. So, KD2NVB, and I will definitely do that.
So you came really up then.
Say again, Joe?
Full quieting, Roy.
I'm full quieting, right?
Correct. So, you know, as intermittents are hard to fix. My question was, the station that mentioned about they had a magnetic loop, does it work on all bands or just one?
KD2NVP. This loop, it doesn't work on all bands. It can go up to, well, it can definitely go up to 40. It can kind of go to 80. It gets less efficient. I think the most efficient is, I can't remember, it's probably 10, but maybe it's 20. Roy would probably know, just because he knows about it. It's just kind of, I think they're fairly standard that way, whatever it is. It's probably 10 or possibly 20. But it can go to, theoretically go to 80, but it's not going to be as much efficiency at all. And definitely decent through 40 if you're in a good place where it works.
I get the idea. So, you know, it wouldn't be good for me. Because, funny thing, I have another problem with 40 and 20. It's just blanketed with noise, artificial noise from the next building. Anyway, back to Roy.
Okay, that's strange. I guess whatever it is, the wind or whatever that's attacking the repeater has quieted down, because now everyone's much better signal-wise. Different magnetic loops can sort of be designed for different bands. So you're not going to get the efficiency at 80 meters that you would be able to get with 20 and 10 just because the radiation resistance is going to be less, so the insertion loss will be a bigger factor and the general efficiency won't be as good. But by adjusting the dimensions of the loop and also adjusting the capacitance range of the tuning capacitor, you can design it for 80 meters if you're so inclined. That's a big problem where you got a lot of background noise in 40 and 20, and being a detective, it can be a pain in the backside. It could be people's wall warts. It could be people's internet routers. It could be fluorescent lights. It could be a laundry list of different things. You could have a guy with a solar collector and an inverter that generates all manner of hash. So I'm sorry to hear that. You got a mess of trouble there.
Anyway, it's coming from the next building, and I think it wasn't always there. It came in the last, say, 2 years. So I think it's something they changed or malfunctioning in there. Maybe they put in a more efficient lighting system, probably, you know, for the hallways and stuff, which would run 24 hours. Some LED lights or, something like that. Anyway, that's enough for that. But the repeater came back to life. Now that we don't need it, we're going to close the net. Over.
Yes, that's the nature of intermittents. What can you do? Curious. I would love to sort of know what the hell's going on there. Usually when things like this happen, everyone kind of points at the wind and says it was probably very windy where the antenna is. It may have a little bit of a loose mount, and it might have been riding around, and that's never good for connections. So maybe there was a bit of a wind that thankfully has died down. A little too late for us, but what can you do?
Remember, most of these antennas are aluminum, and the aluminum oxidizes in a loose connection. They go bad fast. There is stuff you can sand, take it apart, sand off the corrosion, and then put some, they sell in the electrical supply store, they sell something that will prevent that from happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're stuck with the second law of thermodynamics. Entropy always increases. Things always break. What are you gonna make an antenna out of? There's a lot of things that they have pluses and then they have negatives. Corrosion resistant. Stainless steel would be nice if it wasn't so resistant. But the insertion loss of something like stainless steel does not make it a good antenna. They all have their pluses, they all have their minuses. Things inevitably need to be replaced and or repaired. That's just the nature of nature.
The weather gets at it. Anyway, it's good. Have a good evening, all of you, and talk to you next time. WB2HRO.
Thank you, Joe, and thanks for participating. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL-affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York. We meet on the first Wednesday of each month. Our next meeting will be September 1st, which will be held by teleconference. Club members will be emailed with the details of logging into the meeting. Non-members wishing to join the general club meeting can email me for the required link. Although our meetings informally begin after 7 p.m., our formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater, and a weekly net featuring Yaesu's Fusion Digital Technology every Thursday night at 9 p.m. You can connect to our repeater while in Fusion Digital mode, either directly using Fusion Digital Technology Radio or a hotspot and some other digital technological mode using our network gateway, such as our XLX servers or our TGIF servers. We offer an audio stream of the FusionNet on the Internet, as well as all audio transmissions on our club repeater. You can find it by typing into your browser stream.kc2rc.com. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesdays of each month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380 upper sideband. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com, which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company, Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it all down, but we'll be back again, possibly August 25th, if we can. If not, we'll be back in September. So you know where to find us. Thanks to everyone who participated tonight, and especially to my co-host, Bob, KD2NVB. Without you guys, I would just be talking to myself. So this is Roy, AC2GS. I'll be going clear and getting the heck out of here. Be safe, guys, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Roy. This is KD2DEA. Hopefully that will come through. Have a good night.